Welcome. Welcome, one and all, to The Late Show. I'm your host, Stephen Colbert. Ladies and gentlemen. Love it. Love that. Glad to see you keeping your spirits up. You know, ladies and gentlemen, the last 10 years of Donald Trump worming his way into our brains have been weird, but yesterday might have been the weirdest weird that ever weirded, and I'll just let this actual 100% real, we did not make this up or change this footage in any way, C-SPAN report, sum up the times we live in.
President Trump spoke to reporters outside the Oval Office after having McDonald's delivered via the online food ordering service DoorDash. He then took questions from reporters on several topics, including the ongoing conflict with Iran and a recent Truth Social post depicting himself as Jesus, which he denies, saying he thought it depicted him as a doctor.
Even C-SPAN can't make that sound normal. If you just woke up from a coma and that report was the first thing you saw, you'd ask the doctor to put you back in. I'm sorry. No, I'm sorry. There you go. I'm sorry. You'd ask the Jesus to put you back in. By now, I'm sure everyone here has seen the AI slop image of Trump that he posted depicting himself as a cross between Jesus and Doctor Strange. This recreational blasphemy got Trump so much heat that he pulled the post down from social media, and now people can only see it everywhere on the internet. Clearly, the damage has been done. In fact, even staunch Trump supporters are now asking if he's the Antichrist. Well, I mean, it's an interesting theological question, but who are any of us to judge whether, yes, he is. I'm joking, obviously. But I'll tell you who's not joking. One right-wing podcaster and Trump supporter said, in 18 months, I went from hesitantly voting for Trump to thinking there's a decent chance he's the Antichrist. And I gotta say, it doesn't help that the message on his new hat says, yeah. Here's how offensive Trump's AI Jesus post was. The Knights Templar said they condemn it wholeheartedly and asked for a public apology. The Knights Templar. These angered the Knights Templar. Well, it's official. We're trapped in a Dan Brown movie. Quick, somebody find Tom Hanks and give him a terrible haircut. Aren't those the guys at the end of the Indiana Jones movie with the... Last night, we got some attempted damage control from Vice President and scornful hamster, J.D. Vance. Vance went on the Brett Baer Power Hour to staunch the bleeding. Take a look.
Well, first of all, Brett, I think the president was posting a joke, and of course he took it down because he recognized that a lot of people weren't understanding his humor.
Yeah. It was just humor. God humor. The Bible's full of it. I mean, remember what Moses said to Pharaoh.
Tell my people joke.
Of course, Charlton. Hold the rubber chicken. Of course, this isn't just Dr. Maybe Jesus. Trump also posted a long message criticizing the Pope. Why would you start a beef with the Pope? According to a recent NBC poll, Pope Leo leads everyone in America in approval ratings. It's got to piss Trump off to learn that the most popular guy on the planet lives in a palace dripping with gold and wears an insane hat, and it's not him. Fun fact, do you know what American finished second in that NBC poll? It gives me no pleasure to say, Colbert trailed only Pope Leo in favorability. Forgive me, I lied. I actually found that quite pleasurable. Given the fact that he either posted a picture of himself as Jesus or he doesn't know what doctors look like, it's not surprising that even former allies and advisors are describing him as a lunatic and clearly insane. Then again, it's possible he's not insane. He might just be the Antichrist. But, President, that's the way the cortex crumbles. May not be the most insane man in his administration. He's got competition from number three official at FEMA and go to the petting zoo noticing a child has a bag of goldfish crackers, Greg Phillips. Phillips got in some interesting water recently when it came out that he claimed he once teleported to a Waffle House. Now, it is possible this sci-fi adventure happened after consuming some teleportation juice. Jim, beam me up, Scotchy. Well, hello? Hello? Spock? Well, now we're learning that teleportation, which he also calls transportation or translation for biblical reasons that I did not learn in Sunday school, that was just the tip of the bonkersburg, because Phillips also told a podcast that he once collapsed during a work trip while at a Lowe's hardware store and disappeared for roughly 2 hours, during which his phone recorded about 15,000 steps. Then he came to in a McDonald's parking lot across the street with a Big Mac in his lap. I'm starting to see a theme here. Apparently, this man has incredible time travel technology that he only uses to not remember how he got fast food. And that's not all. According to Phillips, his powers span into the paranormal. He described a near crash in the desert, saying he was saved when a dead girlfriend lifted his car off the road to avoid a truck. That's gonna make for a weird insurance claim. Let's see. Sir, I got driver's fault, other driver's fault, inclement weather. I don't see the box for ghost girlfriend levitated car. Okay. Also, the night his late girlfriend saved him, Phillips was driving a car he had won in a poker game. It's like that Kenny Rogers song, you gotta know when to hold 'em, know when to fold 'em, know when to walk away from your girlfriend's ghost. You gotta count your money, do some teleportation, wind up in a Waffle House and eat some Texas toast. So, admittedly a long walk, but an enjoyable one. Phillips is a hot mess, and we are here for it. 10 out of 10, you do you, buddy. Unfortunately, someone called the president's attention to it. Last week, in a brief toilet telephone conversation with CNN, Trump was asked about Phillips and said, what does teleport mean? Was he kidding? And when told that Phillips was not kidding, Trump responded, I don't know anything about teleporting. It just sounds a little strange. This guy could be mentally ill, okay? He should check himself into a hospital so he can be seen by a mental health Jesus. It's about... It's time to talk about sex, baby. Yeah. Specifically, what it make. Because, according to new data from the CDC, the U.S. fertility rate fell to a new record low in 2025. Yes. People are making... Really? You know where babies come from, right? People are making fewer babies, and I think we know what's to blame. The Taco Bell Creamy Chipotle Crispy Chicken Crunchwrap Slider. How are we supposed to get it on when I'm already pregnant with a food baby? Plus, no sex could possibly compare with how good it feels going to town on that thing. Or how much shame you feel after. The youths out there are especially prone to the no bone. One survey found that 67% of Gen Z adults would pick a solid night of sleep over sex. Of course, you could have sex and then go to sleep, but then why are we paying for ad-free Netflix? All in all, a low fertility rate is bad for any country because population stability requires about 2.1 children per woman, and America has fallen below 1.6 children per woman. Not clear how many you need per man. Fellas, I say we get together and work the numbers at a Buffalo Wild Wings or maybe Taco Bell. They got these crunchy, cheesy creamins, these chicken pouchy things that'll really jumpstart your crank. There's one. I don't know what any of this means. There's one area of growth. Births among older women are rising as the fertility rate for women ages 30 to 34 increased by 3%. And this is fun. So is the murder rate among those calling people 30 to 34 older women. Now, am I going to finish this? Am I going to make it through this monologue? I don't know. Hitting some black ice. Well, I want to build on any positive baby momentum out there. So if you're an American considering having kids but just can't get in the mood, meet me over at the Get It On Cam. Hey. Hey, all you fertile myrtles and sperm and hermits. It's 11:53 on a Tuesday, or as I like to call it, pound o'clock. Let's make some monkey butter. First, switch on the sex lights. Oh. Oh. Now you can't see any spaghetti stains on the couch. Now snuggle closer, both of you. Or all three of you, if you're making one of those grab bag babies. Now I'll say some sexy words to rev your engines. Low interest mortgage. Dishwasher safe. In-laws got their own ride home from brunch. By now, I'm sure you're ready to put the do-it dough in the lovin' oven. I'll give you some privacy. Whoa. Points for style. Now I'll tell you something to bring you to the final brink of ecstasy. My guests tonight are Billy Crystal and Ina Garten.
We got a great show for tonight.
Coming up, Billy Crystal.
Progress. Ladies and gentlemen, my first guest made his network television debut on this very stage some 50 years ago and has been entertaining us ever since. Please welcome back to The Late Show, your friend and mine, Mr. Billy Crystal.
Whoa!
Lovely to see you again. Lovely to see you again. Also, lovely to see a true pro comes out there and gives the audience a dose of themselves from center stage.
Well, yeah. I think I look pretty good tonight, so I said...
You look fantastic. How... You look good. How are you?
I'm good.
Yes, yes.
You know, I've been watching you for years, and a lot of the guests that come out, you have a drink with them.
If they ask for a drink, we make sure there's a drink.
I want a drink.
Okay. Yes, I heard. We got word ahead of time. How do you feel about old fashions?
I'm an old fashioned guy.
Oh, me too.
This is for you. Whoa.
Oh, that's good.
Gee.
Yeah.
That's not Manischewitz. This is no. This is it. Mm. Okay.
Mazel tov, I hear that you, you're
I love
grandson.
When you go Jew. I just love.
I'm always tipping. I'm thinking of moving to the Upper West Side. I already go to Barney Greengrass.
Yeah.
Now, your grandson had a bar mitzvah.
Yeah.
That's wonderful. I don't have a grandson or ever have a bar mitzvah. Tell me what's best about both of those.
Well, we have the same birthday.
Oh.
Yeah, so the bar mitzvah was on our birthday, which is March 14th, a month ago. And it was the 65th anniversary of my bar mitzvah.
Wait a second.
Yeah.
Is this all just, as my people would say, kismet? Or is this...
No,
this is all planned?
It just happened. It happened, wow. Fell on that day.
That's fantastic.
It was really cool. It was really cool.
Wow.
Yeah, he turned 13. I didn't. And... yeah. It was weird when, you know, the night that he was born.
Yeah.
I was having a 65th birthday party. So I said, I want it to be on March 14th. I like the birthdays on my birthday. And my daughter Lindsay said, I'm not going to make it, Dad. I just know. Look at me. I'm not going to make it. I just know it. So I had it on the 11th, a Sunday.
Yeah.
So the 14th, we just decided to have dinner together, just quiet. Yeah. And in the middle of dinner, she said, guess who's coming to dinner? And boom. Wow. So now they go to the hospital. And I was hoping it would be 12:01 or 12:02 on the 15th.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I just, because it was always my birthday.
Right.
And he came on 9:49 on the 14th.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's my birthday buddy. It's joyous. And the early birthdays, I'd spend some of them in a plastic ball pit at Chuck E. Cheese. You know, we're playing video games at Dave and Buster's, you know. So, yeah, but now we have four grandchildren, and they've been the joy of our lives.
So the bar mitzvah went well?
Oh, yeah, it was really cool. He did everything right.
Do you remember yours? Did yours go well?
Oh. It was, first of all, I did a really funny 20 minutes.
You did your own Torah portion?
I did, yeah, I did. Made up stuff. Actually, my Torah portion, it was about... You never know what you're going to get. So when
is it really you don't get to pick?
No. It's assigned to you for the time of the year.
Oh,
so mine
okay.
was about people with leprosy. So when I made my speech, I said, well, you know, my speech was a Torah portion about leprosy. These are people, when you say, you know, I got to hand it to you, you actually can.
No.
Yes.
You did?
Yeah.
Did it kill?
Oh, yeah. I got a funny laugh.
We have to take a quick break. We'll be right back with more Billy Crystal, everybody. Stick around. Billy Crystal, I want to ask you about the beautiful tribute you had to Rob and Michelle Reiner at the Academy Awards this year. this is you with the wonderful cast of out there, of his friends and associates out there.
Yeah.
Is it true that you came up with this idea to bring back all these cast members?
Yeah, it was...
I know it must be a very difficult thing to talk about because he was such a beautiful friend to you, such an incredible artist, beloved by so many, and it came in such a shocking and terrible
yeah.
way. I don't mean to have to talk about it if you don't want to talk about it.
No, I'm good. It was shortly after the tragedy. And we had spent the night before together and talking about our careers together. I met him when I was a guest on All in the Family, playing his best friend in 1975. It was a good year for me. It was shortly after I appeared here. Mm. And we just kept it going all of these years. And the night before, it was Conan's Christmas party. We were talking about the movie business and how it's changed and how people don't go to theaters like they used to. And we talked about the fact that you can't control how a movie is going to do. What you can control is the experience of making it. And the experiences that we had together and that he had with his casts of his other movies was so extraordinary that that's something you always have. Hits are great to have, but it's the people that you hold on to. And so I kept that in my heart, and I called Conan shortly after, and I said, I have an idea for a tribute to them. Mm-hmm.
Because Conan was hosting.
Yes. And I said, you know, we just talked about, specifically also, his first seven movies were incredibly different and so great. Spinal Tap, Sure Thing, Princess Bride.
Two good men.
Yeah. Harry and Sally, Misery, A Few Good Men, American President, and Stand By Me. Amazing movie. And I said, if I can get the cast of those movies together to walk out with me, that would have made him really smile. So I got in touch with all of them. The Academy was great in getting them, most of them there. And Fred Savage, who played the boy in The Princess Bride, had never met anybody because he shot his scenes with Peter Falk in Los Angeles. And we were all in London making The Princess Bride. So they got to meet for the first time. Oh. And then, of course, Meg there and my other wife, Carol Kane, from The Princess Bride. So we were able to hold hands and walk out there in tribute with a beautiful picture of Rob and Michelle, because they were our closest friends.
Well, it was a beautiful moment. And what did he mean to you personally as a friend? Tell us about Rob Reiner, because we all know him from his performances and from his directing. But what was he like as a friend?
Hilarious, devoted, opinionated. Mm-hmm. In the best way, fighting for the truth for our country. Mm-hmm.
Lucky enough to have him on a couple of times and had a wonderful conversation.
And the greatest comedy taste. We could talk about everything. He was an uncle to my kids. There's so many moments that I just, when something good happens, or isn't that crazy? I want to pick up the phone and call and say, did you say? Because that's what we would do. Yeah. In Harry and Sally, there's a lot of moments that Meg and I are really Rob and I. He was going through a tough divorce from Penny Marshall at the time. And we were on the phone constantly. And there were moments of we'd be watching a movie together, like Casablanca, and we would do that and go back and forth. And we were watching, remember, arena football?
Yeah.
And we were going back and forth. And we said, what about arena yachting? Maybe there's arena yachts. And we would go back and forth. And so that's in the movie. Wow. And, you know, that scene with Harry and Sally watching. So all of that stuff was in there. Mm. And it was, you know, it's a profound loss for... I'm just going to say humanity, because he was the most human person that I ever met.
We have to take another break here, but okay. Stick around for more Billy Crystal, everybody. Not to dwell on loss too much, but you've experienced more than one loss over the last time you're here. Last time you're here was in December of 24, and about a month later, the fire started in L.A., and you and your wife, Janice, lost your home of 45 years.
It's been a year.
Yes. Well,
sorry.
I mean, I know that there's some... How is recovery going out there, and how are you guys personally?
It's been the most horrendous of times, and in the middle of that, all of these other tragedies, I lost other friends, and I said to Janice, we should change our name to Mr. and Mrs. Job. Because it's been so profound. Mm-hmm. But with the love of each other, we're married almost 56 years, mm-hmm. and our amazing kids.
Nicely done.
You get through it, mm-hmm. and you find ways. And we're, you know, starting plans to rebuild. We were there 46 years. I have to say, the ballroom is going to be fantastic.
Got to have it.
And
gotta have them.
And because I hold this place so dear, I'm gonna show you something and announce to the audience a new project that I'm coming back to Broadway in a new one-person show. Here, you can do that. It's a new show. It's called 860, which was our address. Oh. And the show really takes place in the house that was, and it's all the funny stories and touching stories that have happened to us in that time. It's going to be here in the fall. You know, 700 Sundays was the joy of my life to do, and that was about growing up in a house in Long Beach, and that address was 549. And my daughter, Jenny, said an interesting thing. That show was all about losing my parents over time, and that thing where we all become orphans in your life and rising forward, because the gifts that they give you when you're young serve you well throughout your life. But all the dreams I had in 549 of being a comedian come true in 860. So the show is, and it, what's interesting about the show is I've developed, I started really writing it the morning of the fires. We woke up to the sound of helicopters and planes flying low over. What's going on? I turned on TV and it said fire in the place called the Highlands, which was about 5-6 miles from us. And I ran outside and took my phone and started filming the planes coming overhead. And then I just kept filming everything during the whole course of the horrible situations that we were in, and then visiting the house that's not there anymore. Nothing's there anymore. I documented everything, and then I started writing. And the play invites the audience into 860, but also into what we went through. And so when I'm walking on stage holding this phone up to the visuals that you're going to see, I shot them on the location of the actual house. So it's really fascinating in that way, I think. And I need to do it.
I was about to say, does the creative act actually help you deal with the grief of that loss?
Yeah. It's how I've always dealt with stuff. I mean, we've both had unfair things happen to us as young people. Mm-hmm. And it's your if it's your faith, if it's your loved ones, if it's, you know, survivors that help you get through it, that's a magnificent thing and a real lesson in life. And 860, I can't wait to invite people into the house every night and share these stories with them.
There's to it.
Here's to creating things out of the bad times.
Wow. How's that treating you? You're feeling good? How's the old
you
passion
know,
treating you?
When I'm a little looped.
You're a cheap date, then.
Yeah, no, I know. But when I get that... When I get that way, I have to sing.
Maestro.
So, folks, 51 years ago, I stood on this mark, probably like there or here, on Saturday Night Live with Howard Cosell, and I made my network debut, and everything started here. So to finish my appearances on this wonderful show here, on this spot where I started, really, in television, means a lot to me. So here is my favorite singer. This is a song called The Wee Small Hours of the Morning. In the wee small hours of the morning, when the whole wide world is just a mess, we'll lie awake and think about Colbert and wonder what the f*** with CBS. When we look in vain to find the late show for our nightly laugh to break the fall, when we need a joke to just keep going, that's the time we'll miss him most of all.
Billy Crystal, everybody.
Thank you for listening to the Late Show Pod Show with Stephen Colbert. Just one more thing. If you want to see more of me, come to the Late Show YouTube channel for more clips and exclusives.